If every single part of your life is growing, is going great right now. If every single part of your life is going great right now, I'm excited for you. God bless you. This message is not for you. This message is not for you. I want to talk today to those of you who may be going through something a little bit more difficult. I want to talk to those who might have something painful in some pocket or maybe even a big portion of your life. I want to talk to those of you that may be in a complicated season for you or maybe with somebody that you love. I want to talk to some people that are going through some things. And for some of you, it may be something kind of big, or it could be a problem that's not really big, but just an ongoing problem. Like, you know, like life's just okay, not great. Okay. Job's not great. It's okay. Marriage is not great. It's okay. Finances are not great and just kind of barely making it. And to make things worse, you're sitting beside somebody that is doing great, right? Someone used to say that you're probably going into a hard season, or you're in the middle of a hard season, or you're coming out of a hard season. I mean, in this broken world, marred by sin, life can be really, really difficult. And Peter, in the New Testament, he calls these difficulties, he calls them fiery trials. Some of you may be in a fiery trial right now. You're battling with depression, or you're discouraged, and you might even feel like your faith is being tested right now. Peter said in the trials, he said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He said, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." Today I want to continue our message through the book of Daniel. We're looking at Daniel and his friends, and we're going to see that Daniel and his friends face the test of a lifetime. They're going to literally be thrown into a fiery trial, a fiery furnace. And they're going to discover that a faith that's been tested is a faith that can be trusted. I want to say it again. A faith that's been tested in the middle of a trial is a faith that can be trusted. So, we're going to review where we've been in this message series in week number one in the series Unshakable. We talked about the evil King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar was wicked. He was evil. He was the most powerful man in the kingdom of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire. And after he conquered Judah, it was horrible. Just destroyed the temple, mocked their faith. He took the best and the brightest young men, captured them, deported them from their home, from their homeland, from their families, and took them to Babylon to indoctrinate them with the evil Babylonian ways. And Daniel and his three friends were four of the people that were taken. His friends were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had an inflated sense of importance. He made a gold statue of himself that was 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. This is as tall as an 8-story building. Now, I can't prove it, but he's probably compensating. He was picked on as a kid. I don't know what you're thinking. Like he was insecure about. He's built this big old honking. I mean, we're talking, he's building this 8-story statue. And he has all of the government leaders, all the advisors and the judges and the magistrates. And, you know, this would be like the city council. All the important people come to the dedication of the statue that he made for himself. Look how important I am. Here is my statue. I'm an evil man with a big statue. Okay? Daniel chapter 3 says this, "Then a herald," this is kind of like the announcer guy, "shouts, 'When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, bow down to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.'" So, this guy builds this big statue of himself and says, "Everybody," tells his herald, "tell everybody, worship the statue of me made of gold. And if you don't, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace." Now, there's some kids there, probably teenagers, maybe a little bit older now, who love God and don't want to worship a false idol. And if you think about it, it doesn't get any more serious than this. Basically, the message is, when the band starts playing, you gotta bow and worship the king. If you don't, you're gonna be crispy critters. And I probably shouldn't even say that sarcastically. Like, literally, you're gonna die. This is a test. This is a trial. And remember, a faith that's been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Some of you right now, you're in the middle of a test, and your faith is being strengthened. Faith that's been tested is a faith that can be trusted. So the king says, "Bow down and worship the statue, or you're going to die." Now, there's all this big crowd there. What do you think they did? What do you think they did? Anybody want to venture a guess? Did they stand up or did they bow? They bowed, right? They bowed down. Why? They didn't want to die. Verse 7 says this, "So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." So, picture this. There's this big honking gold statue, and everybody, they're all the important people, They're bowing down and they're worshiping. Oh, great statue, great king, you're so amazing. We worship you. And there's three boys not bowing, three boys still standing. And the leaders were like looking around going, wait, they disobeyed the king. And they're like, there's no way. We are so telling the king. This is what they did. These were annoying people. They're like, hey, oh, great King Nebuchadnezzar, those Jewish boys that you promoted, because remember, they're all jealous of these Jewish boys. Those Jewish boys that you promoted, they're not worshiping you, king. And the king's like, that's not right. I built a big statue of myself. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he screams at the boys. And he basically said, you better bow or burn. And verse 16 tells us what they did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Watch the respect. Watch the directness and the kindness. They're not arrogant. They're not mean. They're not critical. They're clear, they're direct, and they're respectful. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to. We don't need to tell you. We don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And our God will deliver us from your majesty's hand. I don't need to tell you about my faith. I don't need to tell you why your rule's stupid. I don't need to sit back. I don't need to make a big point. I'm just going to tell you right now. We worship God. We're going to serve God. We're not bowing down to you, and the God we serve is able. And I want you to think about this. Like, that preaches. But when your life is on the line, like literally, like if you're about to be thrown into that fire, and they say, our God is able. And when everyone else bows, they stand. Think about it. They refuse to compromise their faith, even in the face of death. We need to just let that sink in. That's bold. A faith that's been tested is a faith that can be trusted. And let's just acknowledge for a minute how easy it would have been for them to kind of like just blend in, right? I mean, think about it. Everybody else is bowing down. They don't want to die. Think about how easy it would be to rationalize and just bow down. They could have just, you know, faked it. Like, we're bowing down and we're acting like it. But we got our fingers crossed. They could have faked it and just kind of like blended in. They could have worshiped just one time. Like, okay, we need to do this. And so we're worshiping and then we're going to ask God for forgiveness. Surely God will understand this one time. They could have done that. Besides, you know, like, if they're dead, it's really hard to have a ministry when you're already dead. And so you can see how easy it would have been for them to rationalize and compromise their faith to fit in and to be safe. But they refused to compromise their faith, even in the face of death. It's difficult for most of us to imagine that. And so it's really easy to write this story off as an Old Testament Bible story that doesn't really apply to me. Like, I'm never going to be, I'm never going to have my faith, you know, my life in danger. Maybe, maybe not. But I want to say right now, your faith is tested in many ways every single day. Every single day. Whether you compromise and laugh at the joke or don't. Whether you compromise and join in the gossip or don't. Whether you treat people with love and respect and dignity or you don't. Whether you join in the chaos of all the division, or you try to rise above it and keep the mission of Jesus higher than anything else in your life. Every single day your faith is tested. You have a choice between doing what's right or doing what's easy. Every single day, you have a choice between doing what pleases God or doing what pleases people. And at the heart, I can describe it this way. You have a choice between worshiping God or giving your heart to an idol. Oh, I would never give my heart to an idol. Scroll, 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 scroll. I'd never give my heart to an idol. Oh, football team, football team, football team. I'd never give my heart to an idol. What do you think of my watch? What do you think of my outfit? What do you think of my purse? I promise you, if you're committed to serving God, the devil will tempt you to compromise your faith in God. Even in the face of death, they refuse to compromise their faith in God. Back to our story. These boys inspire me. I want to look at their faith. Again, verse 17 tells us this. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us. I have hard times too. And I tell myself, no matter what I face, my God is able. No matter what I face, my God is able. You tell yourself when you don't know what you're going to do. When your faith is getting low, sometimes you have to preach to yourself. And you tell yourself, my God is able. I just want to remind myself, I serve the God who says, with Him, all things are possible. I serve the God who has the ability to open up blind eyes. I serve a God who can open up deaf ears. I serve a God who can speak to that which is dead and bring up that. My God is able. My God is able. And I don't know what it'll be for you, but somebody, you might get a bad medical report. And so what you say is, that's bad. I don't like it. I don't want it. But my God is able to heal. Some of you, you may be in a relationship. You think, there's no way God will ever fix them. No way God can save my... No, my God is able to restore broken relationships. You may be struggling financially, like right now. I mean, who's not? You can't even afford a gallon of milk, much less a house, right? No, my God is able to meet all of my needs according to His glories and riches. My God is able. My God is able. My God is able, but what if God is able and He doesn't? What if He's able to heal and He doesn't? What if He's able to provide and you find yourself lacking? What if He's able and He doesn't, right? Anybody ever been there? Can we just be real? I mean, you're praying, you're believing, you know, I'm confessing. Your scripture says, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, you're Lord, and if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and if two or three on earth gather and believe anything, if we pray according to your will, God, you hear our prayers. God, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. God, you pray and you're believing, and you're believing God will and He doesn't. Can we be that real? It's tough. And we see the boys face this very real possibility. Verse 17, they say this, "The God we serve is able to save us." We know He can. We know He can, and we believe He will. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But sometimes He doesn't. Always do what He can, and we think He will, right? Let me say it again. Sometimes He doesn't always do what He can, and we think He will. And so they say, He will save us. But if He doesn't? But even if He doesn't, know what we know. He can do, and what we think He should do, even if He doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, kind and respectful, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Our God is able. We know He can. We believe He will. Whatever you're facing right now, if you're in a fiery trial, and I know that some of you are, and you're asking God to deliver you right now, one of the greatest faith statements that you could ever make goes like this. God, I believe you can. And God, I believe you will. But even if you don't, I still believe. God, I believe you can. God, I believe you will. But even if you don't, I still believe. I still trust you. I'll still serve you. I'll honor you. I still believe. There's some of you that God didn't do what you thought that He would do. And so you walked away from him. Can I just say very lovingly, that's not real faith. Faith is believing he can, but faith is also believing he's king. Faith is believing that he can, but faith is still believing that he's sovereign. Real faith, a faith that's been tested, is a faith that can be trusted. Real faith believes on the other side of disappointment. Call him. I'm mad, God. I wish you had. You hadn't. But at some point, you have to determine, is he God or are you? I believe you can. I know you can. I believe you will. But even if you don't, you're still God, and I still believe. So the king ordered the furnace cranked up 7 times. He's ticked. He's mad. He's got a big statue, and they're not worshiping him, okay? So he orders the strongest soldiers. Go get the guy that looks like, you know, you get the strong guys. And get these 3 boys. Tie them up and throw them in. Well, those soldiers shouldn't have been so strong. Because the 3 guys that were throwing them in, the strongest guys throwing them in, they actually got burned by the fire. It was so hot, they got burned. And so these 3 boys that chose to worship the true God and not the false God, they're in the middle of the fire. And the king looks on, and he's shocked. He's like, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire? And this guy's, yes, king. Yes, your honor. Yes, we threw 3 guys in the fire. And he goes, but I see another one. Didn't we throw 3 in? And the king says, look. He answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they're not even hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. This just got crazy. This just got powerful. Our God is able. 3 men are thrown into the fire and a 4th man appears. Who is the 4th man in the fire? Well, Bible scholars tell us that the 4th man is most likely Jesus. They call it a Christophany or a Theophany. Christophany. Christ is Christ. Ophany means appearance. Scholars would say that this is an Old Testament appearance of Christ, or a pre-incarnate vision or visitation from Christ. Because in the beginning, there was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's always been God the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has always been there. He wasn't just here when he became flesh. He was here before he was flesh, pre-incarnate. And so they would say, this is very likely a Christophany. Jesus comes with the boys in the fire. And this is where the story goes to a whole nother level. The boys were in the fire, and Jesus met them in the fire. Jesus met them in the fire. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to it. Fast forward to the end of the story. The story tells us, did the boys die or did they survive? They survived, right? They miraculously survived. Not only did they survive, there's no harm on their body. Their bodies didn't even smell like smoke. There's someone here. You're going through a trial right now, a fiery trial. And I want to tell you right now, by the power and the grace of God, for some of you, not only are you not going to get burned, but you're going to come out not even smelling like smoke. Your God is going to be faithful. He can prove himself faithful to you. You're going to walk through the fire and not even smell like smoke. And the next thing you know, the king Nebuchadnezzar, who resented these boys' faith in God, the king who resented these boys' faith in God, promoted the boys and decided on the spot to put his faith in their God. If any God can do that, the king says, I want to put my faith in that God. Verse 28 tells us this. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, Oh, praise be to the God. He's worshiping. A moment ago, he was doubting. He saw the presence and the power of God. Now he's worshiping. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in their God and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any God except for their own God. Our God is able, and our God showed up and did this. And I want to slow down for a moment and point out to you exactly what God did and exactly what God didn't do. Notice, when did God deliver the boys? When did he deliver them? God didn't deliver them from the fire. God delivered them in the fire. And this is so important. I hope you'll hear this. Embrace the truth that God doesn't always deliver us from our trials, but he is always with us in our trials. In the middle of the worst fiery trial of their lives, Jesus met them in the fire. Jesus met them in the fire. I want to talk to those of you that may be in a difficult season. And I hope you'll see that when you put your faith in him, Jesus will always meet you in the fire. And I want you to think about these boys. They're in the fire, and Jesus appears, and they're surrounded by flames everywhere. And everybody else, these other guys are dead, and they're still alive. And Jesus is with them. And they're like, you know, they're beside themselves. And Jesus is there. And I just wonder, I just imagine, I bet he didn't just go like, I mean, he's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God spoke. I just think our God is a God who speaks. I bet Jesus talked to him. And it's so emotional to think about. Like, I wonder what he would have said if Jesus would have looked at the boys and said, like, your heavenly Father is so proud of you. You consistently and faithfully chose to worship him. You didn't give in. You stood strong for your faith. I wonder if Jesus would have said, hey, because of your faith, in a few moments, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to come to worship God. Maybe Jesus would have said, hey, because of your faith, I know you don't care now, but your names will be remembered throughout history. I wonder if he would have told them that one day people all over the world who were suffering and going through horrific trials, and those who are persecuted, even those who are martyred for their faith, will be strengthened by hearing your story. I wonder what Jesus said when he met them in the fire. And when you think about it, the fiery furnace looked like the place where that would be the end of their lives. And it turned out to be the place where they met Jesus. And whatever you're going through, you can hold on to that same hope. No matter what you're going through, Jesus will meet you in the fire. And when he does, if you listen, he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you through his word. He'll speak to you through his sermon. He'll speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he may tell you. He'll tell you he loves you. And he may tell you he's proud of you for keeping your faith in God. And he may tell you he'll never leave you and never forsake you. I want you to believe me when I tell you this, because I have lived it. He is always with me in the fire. And he's always with you. And he's with you now. And Jesus will meet you in the fire. Let us pray. So, Father, we worship you. We worship you for who you are. With every bit of faith, God, we praise you. We believe you are the God that can, and you are the God that will. And we declare that you are God no matter what. God, we trust you, and in a strange way, we thank you for the trials that we would never choose. We don't really want them. We don't enjoy them. But God, we thank you that we get to know you in a different way in those trials. And so, Father, we ask right now for whatever those in our church family, those around the world that are going through something right now, that they would sense that you're good, that you're a peace that goes beyond all our understanding. And we thank you that you're a miraculous God. And we believe for miracles. We believe for supernatural healing. And we believe for provision. And we believe for the salvation of those that need you, God. We believe for restoration and broken families and marriages and relationships with kids. And you are a supernatural God. And we believe by faith that you can move mountains. And we ask for miracles, God. We know you can. And we believe you will. And we'll never stop praying and never stop believing. And ultimately, God, even though we know you can, God, and by faith, we still believe you will. If you don't, we still worship you. Would you meet those who are hurting in the fire, God? Show them your love. Show them your goodness. Show them your grace. We thank you that a faith that's been tested is one that can be trusted. God, draw us close. Teach us to depend on you, God, and help us to know you in the fire. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.